Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Luke. Let's stand together, the book of Luke, chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. One thing is needful. The Lord would say this, one thing is needful. Beginning at verse 38, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman called Martha received him into her home, or her house, excuse me. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Mary was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for that unspeakable gift that is available to us. Thank you for the redemption that was purchased on our behalf. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here this morning. We ask that you would bless, souls could be saved, and hearts made right. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verse 38, it came to pass. You know, we know very little about the interaction of Jesus with friends and family. We have a number of his stories and parables. We know of different things that he did during his ministry, but we know very little of what he did when it came time to interact with friends. We find that it came to pass that he's come into a certain village, the village of Bethany. And in this village, we find a certain woman. Her name is Martha. Martha, of course, was the sister of Mary and of Lazarus. We'll get to Lazarus at a later time. But we note that she received him in her house, which is very interesting. It was her house. We're not told it was Lazarus' house. We're not told it was her husband's house. We don't know if maybe she'd been married and he'd passed off the scene. But it was into her house that he came. Now, try to, in your mind's eye, to picture this house. Let me start by saying this house did not have air conditioning. This house did not have central heat. It would not have had running water unless the maid ran to get it. It would not have had a toilet. It would not have had a refrigerator. Most likely, it didn't have beds. What it would have had were mats that probably were put away in the morning and gotten out at night and rolled out. Most likely, it would have had a table that was very low, not like the one that you've seen in a picture of Jesus at the Last Supper, but a very low table, and the first person would sit down or semi-lay down with their legs behind them. And the next person would get in beside them and kind of rest upon them, and they would go around the table, each person resting on the person beside them and having someone rest on them. I would think very uncomfortable. We heard of double dipping. You know, I never knew what that meant until some woman came up and said to me, we were getting potato chips and dip, and she goes, you don't double dip, do you? I had no idea what she meant, and so I didn't want to agree that I did or didn't. How many of you know what it means to double dip? Very good. You seem to all know what it means today. Just in case you don't know, it means to take a dip of something on your potato chip, bite it, and then stick your chip back into the dip. How many of you think that would be a good idea? I don't see any hands, but yet that's what they would do. They would have bread, they would put it into the pot, they would take something out, whatever it may have been, bite off, and then they would do it again. They all would be doing it. Yeah, how about that? Wouldn't that make you excited to go to Mary's house or Martha's house? Yeah. But we find that they are there, and we're going to see something here. This certain woman has a sister, verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary. But the sentence doesn't end there, does it? It continues, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. To sit at the feet of Jesus, can you imagine that? You know, when you were in school, can you remember a teacher that you really liked? Boy, for a moment there, Brother Wutke, I was worried that none of them liked any of their teachers. Okay. Let me ask Nathaniel. I'm going to put him on the spot. Do you like your teacher? Yes, that's good. Since he's homeschooled. Yes. But how many of you had a crush on a teacher? Yes, I had Miss Black in the third grade. She could do no wrong. She was gorgeous. Now, that, you have to remember, I was a third grade boy. During my school years, there were teachers that I thought were just marvelous. Didn't you have them too, ladies? Did you have a male teacher that you had a crush on? When I was in the 12th grade, I had Algebra 2, and Mr. Johnson was my teacher. He was a blonde-haired guy that all the girls, I think Judy, they all liked him. He was single too. That's right. I remember that. Yes. When I was in college, there were certain classes that I enjoyed more than others. I didn't enjoy any of the first hour classes. But a number of years ago, I began taking classes at the Birmingham Bible Institute. The reason I did it was nice to go to something where I didn't have to worry about anything other than just show up. I didn't tell them for years that I was a pastor. I just didn't. It wasn't until Pastor Mel one year went with me and took a class, and he said, "Pastor Paul." And my secret was then revealed. But I had one of the teachers there, Brother Froman, that I truly enjoyed listening to. He was a blessing. But can you imagine sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to him talk? Would you think it would be worthwhile having him to your house? I think it'd be marvelous. I think it'd be great. And we find that she sat at his feet. Now, we know there are many Marys in the New Testament. The most noted, of course, is Mary, the mother of Jesus. But this Mary was the sister of Martha. And Martha is seemingly doing all the work, and Mary is doing nothing, someone would say. She's just sitting there listening to Jesus. She's not preparing the meal. I wonder if any of the disciples sitting there also, seeing Martha hurry around doing things, thought to themselves, boy, I wonder why Mary isn't helping. Now, I don't know if any of you have heard my stomach growling this morning. It's already growled. It tells you that I'm hungry. I get grouchy when I'm hungry. So anything I say over the next 15 minutes you don't like, just say it was because he was hungry. But let's read the next few verses, verses 40 through 42 once again. These are some of the most controversial happenings in Jesus' ministry. What exactly is Jesus saying when he refuses to honor Martha's request that Mary help her with the preparation of the meal? Is he saying that one is not to be concerned with physical food and its preparation? Is that what he is saying? Or is he saying that his time is short and it would do well for all those that were there to listen to him? But let's begin reading at verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Now you see that in your eye, don't you? You understand what's going on. She is scurrying around trying to get everything just right. And we find here, and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. I think it's a blessing when we can hear the Word of God preached. I think it's wonderful when we can come together and we can look into the Word of God. I think it's something that shouldn't be taken away from a child of God. I think we should desire to do it. One thing is needful in our lives, and that is to hear the Word of God. One thing is needful in our lives, and that is to be right with the Lord. I have 3 points in my sermon this morning. We are to have a right relationship with material things. We are to have a right relationship with friends and family. We are to have a right relationship with Almighty God. Number one, a right relationship with material things. Material things being food, clothing, housing, we should have a right relationship with them. We should be modest in our dress. We should be proper in how we handle those things that God has provided for us. We need to be good stewards of what God has allowed us to obtain. I do believe this, that people who are born again need to give of their offerings and tithes to the house of God. We need to be careful that we don't say, well, I'll give what's left. We're to bring the first fruits to the Lord. We're to bring the first part to Him, not what's left. We need to have a right relationship with material things. In other words, material things shouldn't be in control of our money. We need to make sure that we are right with God. Be careful with needs versus wants. Brother Wutke mentioned that in the morning Sunday school class. Being careful with what we call needs versus wants. Clarence Sexton writes, "It is easy to say the Lord is my shepherd. It is more difficult to say I shall not want." We must live within our means. Now, I know you didn't come to hear a message on economy. But may I say this? I believe one of the problems in our country today is that we have not learned to live within our means. We just say, I'll just charge it. We live in a society where we have people who have no intentions of ever paying off their debt. We live in that type of society. I want, I want, I want. Some of you have seen the TV program Hoarders. Some would call them pack rats. May I say that at a point in time in my life, I was a pack rat. I had a problem. If I thought something could be used sometime in my life, I kept it. And then we began moving. We moved from Deshaun to Parsons, and then from Parsons to Leslie, and then from Leslie to Wheaton. And I said, stupid, why are you moving this stuff? Anybody ever come to that point in your life? You say to yourself, I have had this since the last move, and I haven't touched it. I didn't even know I had it anymore. I was that way. I had to stop being a pack rat. I may not have been like some of those people on television, the hoarders, but I realized that I had a wrong relationship with material things. I love the story about the neighbors that thought their neighbor was having an affair with the UPS guy because he was stopping there every day. And she was ordering things on television and on these, I've never watched these TV programs where you can order things hour on hour, but she had so many things, she had stuff she had never opened. It's unbelievable. Now you say, Pastor Paul, does that really happen? Yes, let me tell you of one. We had a woman that used to come to our church here. My dad and I would go visit her, and we would walk into the house, and you had to walk in the paths to the front room to find the chairs. There were paths so that people sitting in the chairs could see the television. The stuff was that much in her house, in her front room. She had one of her family members living with her, and he says, well, if you come over here to the hallway, He says, you'll see that we only have half the hallway because from floor to ceiling, it was stacked with boxes. They had a three-bedroom house. The third bedroom had a door, had been taken off, and they had a path into the hall, into this room. It was stuffed full of things from floor to ceiling. He told me, he said this, he said, if you went to our basement, he said, there are paths. There is so much stuff down there. He says, we have stuff we haven't seen for decades. He says, we haven't parked our car in the garage for years because it's so packed full of stuff. We can't get in there. She was complaining. She goes, quit talking. Stop telling him all this stuff. He says, do you know she won't talk to her son? No, how would we know that? Well, my dad says, well, why? My dad's a curious guy. If you're wondering where he's at Brown City today. He's preaching up there. She won't talk to her son. He has a spare bedroom in his house, and he won't let her store her stuff in it. Would you say she had a wrong relationship with material things? Do you know when she died, she left it all? She left it all. Having a wrong relationship with material things. A number of years ago, my dad and I were out in visitation. We knocked at the door, and the woman of the house invited us to come in. We walked in, and there was no place to sit. On the floor, there were, count them, two diapers opened, had been used both ways, sitting on the floor, open. You say people don't live like that. Yes, they do. They have a wrong relationship with things. See, we are to be good stewards of what the Lord has given us. We had a family that was coming to church here. They were sporadic in their attendance, and I went out to visit them, and the door opened, and this guy squeezed through the little opening between the door jamb and the door. I first thought was, he doesn't want me to see what's inside his house. Would you think that? Well, you know, I did. And we talked, and he said, okay, we'll come to church, but they didn't, so I went back, and the next time, he squeezed out a little bit again, and his wife was there that time, and so she's standing in the doorway, and he's out on the porch, and we're talking, I'm thinking, wow, I wonder what's inside the house they don't want me to see. Are you curious like me? I'm just that way. The third time I went out there, he made the mistake of letting me in the house. Have you ever heard the saying that every dish and every pot and everything was dirty? It all was. The counter was stacked high with dirty dishes. The front room was so filthy that you could not have sat down. This was a man and a wife. There weren't any children. It was just filthy. You know, I think to myself, we need to have a right relationship with things. Paul told Timothy, he said, warn the rich, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. We are not to trust in our money, but we are to trust in the Lord. One unfortunate thing about being Americans is that we have the opportunity to spend a lot of money on a lot of things. We must be careful. Secondly, we need to have a right relationship with family and friends. What was the first human relationship? Husband and wife. Husband and wife. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives. Titus 2:4 says, the aged women are to teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. We need to have the right priorities in our lives today. I say this, if we want a strong nation, we must have strong churches. If we want strong churches, we must have strong families. If we want strong families, we must have strong husband-wife relationships. I've said this on many occasions, the number one reason for divorce is selfishness. Me first. I deserve. I want. A right relationship with friends. Friend is a companion, a backer, an associate. A friend is an amigo, a chum. A friend is a defender, one who encourages, a supporter, a comrade. A friend is a confidant. My best friend has been, is, and shall be Donna. She's put up with me for 40 years. That's longer than my mother and dad put up with me. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? We need to be in agreement. My wife's faithfulness sometimes astounds me. I appreciate that. Her faithfulness to this church is many times unappreciated. Oftentimes behind the scenes, people forget all that she does. But may I say this, if it wasn't for Donna, I wouldn't be your pastor. I would have quit a long time ago. So if you don't like me as your pastor, blame Donna. Through the years, I've had many friends. Many have left, moved away, died. Some have drifted away. But I ask you this question, are you a friend? Are you a friend? My dad's not here, so I'm reading a letter that he received concerning my mother. Since sympathy. It says, I have sweet memories of Rosemarie. You know, Rosemarie Madonna was a friend. She was your friend. And she may be gone from our sight, but she will never be forgotten. Her good work and deeds and love and kindness, her great faithfulness, all these will always be remembered. She was a true friend. You know, we need to have friends like that. But not only that, we need to be friends like that. We need to be friends. But there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And that friend is Jesus. Which leads us to number three, a right relationship with Almighty God. Isaiah 59:1-3 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, but it cannot save. Neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. Romans 3:10-23 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, separation between God and man. The wages of sin is death. It is the cost of sin. Yet God the Son was willing to come to earth to pay the cost of our sin, to die on the cross for you and for me. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ entered the slave market of sin and purchased our freedom, paid the price of our redemption, and he redeemed us. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for ye are bought with a price. That price was his precious blood. And with the price paid, we have received an unspeakable gift. So in conclusion, do you have a right relationship with material things? Do you have a right relationship with friends and family? Do you have a right relationship with Almighty God? Most likely, if you do not have a right relationship with God, you will not have a right relationship with family, friends, or material things. Shall we stand together? Do you have a right relationship with the Lord God Almighty? our invitation song this morning. Number 17, have thine own way, Lord. Do you want the Lord to have his way in your life? Do you want him to be your Lord and Savior? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless this invitation time. Lord, we ask that you would touch hearts. May the Spirit move. Lord, we pray that there can be rejoicing in heaven among the angels over those that repent. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.